Welcome to the Tech Nori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Joining me on today's show, Caben Clausen, half Carl, half Benjamin. Interesting way to get to a name. Regardless, we go through a whole bunch of stuff from me telling all kinds of things that are probably reprehensible and more than likely probably could be arrested for. But nonetheless, I shared them with you because why would I not share it with you? We've got a guy who has a company that I think is a completely different spin on data. I said it before the show. It's like clout meets HQ trivia. Very interesting stuff. It's called True Public. We talked about a bunch of things, though. I mean, it was not just about business and about me and my crazy antics, but also just like how people do and don't get along with themselves with regard to like how they come across on social media, how Instagram looks like you're a star, except you're not. And the reality is you probably will never will be. And so what does that look like? Is that fun? Do we still want to be on this platform or do we just want to roll off and do something different? It's a totally different take on it. Right now, all you're hearing is social media influencers like Gary Vee telling you what you need to be. And this is telling you who you are and really what you should double down on. Very interesting stuff. Also, like 6'8 dude played basketball in Anchorage, Alaska. So there's like a totally different kind of side to Caben, and we got into some of that stuff. Before I talk to Caben, though, we got to check in on our startup inbox. We got the startup inbox brought to you by ActiveCampaign. Go beyond email marketing with True Automation by signing up at activecampaign.com/technori. Get your first 2 months for free. Dave Ramirez, I recently poached a top executive from a competitor in hopes of bringing new business. It's been about 6 months, not seeing any results. Was hiring an outside exec a bad decision? When should I look for talent outside my own ranks? Okay, I'm going to keep it short and sweet. Book by Jim Collins, Good to Great, talks about the fact that most, and by most, I mean 100%. By 100%, I mean like 92% or whatever. Most CEOs that are brought in outside of an organization and then meant to lead the company back to the promised land or wherever fail and fail miserably. Ask GE. Others are hired internally and work their way up and find a lot of success. There's no true sort of like answer or response to this. The reality is, depending on the position, you need domain knowledge. You need to understand the culture of the company. You need to feel like you belong and that you're a part of the building. You're a part of the fabric, that you've both participated in some of the success and the failure and get there. That said, sometimes the hired gun works and poaching works. Usually poaching works better when it's a competitor and you just go ahead and bring in inside knowledge. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get anything out of them that you wouldn't have gotten from somebody else. You just got inside knowledge. And you have to sort of recognize whether or not you poach them for knowledge or if you poach them for experience or knowledge and experience. And then the last thing I will say to that, and Dave, I don't know you or your business, but I will say the reality is I don't know how much a top-level executive, what that means. I don't know how much money that is. And not that money's everything, because certainly people have gotten destroyed overpaying for people. But I think there's a certain level where it's okay to poach, and it's like, I'm going to hire somebody and their book, and I'm going to get, you know, I'm paying them $500,000, and it's a different ballgame. Versus like, they're a director. Like, how much power did they have at the other companies? I guess what I'm getting at. How much of what they did was real versus what they said they did? So you've got to be kind of careful of that. In the end, the number one way to solve this problem is to not have to poach. It's to hire well and train well. And the line I've used in the past I like to use is you hire 5 people, you pay them like 8, and you work them like 10. And that's kind of the gist of it. And now my interview with CEO and co-founder of True Public, Caleb Clausen. All right, yeah. So I'm just going to – this is the show. We're in. We're on it now. We're in the show. We are locked in. Some people in an investor world, in any world, will just like tentatively reply to you or not reply on their own convenience. And I get it because, you know, we're all busy. I get a lot of emails. I get to the point of like being aloof. But then there's like a certain – I actually was just talking about this. So we were talking about sponsorship. There's a certain amount of like time that goes by where I actually hope you don't reply. Like you get to like 2 or 3 days. I'm like, all right, this is still – I'm still like, this is – okay. You get to a week or there's like a miss something and now I feel like I have the advantage. Because now – well, I just kicked the water. It's fine. Now I have, I feel like I have the advantage because I think, thank you. I think ultimately, if you can get people feeling like they have wronged you or that somehow they have done something wrong, you can actually leverage that in negotiations. Like something as stupid and simple as not replying back to an email. When you go pitch, you've maybe rescheduled for them. They're going to be a little bit more accommodating, or they might give you a little bit more time or a little bit more latitude. Yeah. And I personally try to take advantage of that literally at every second.
Yeah, that's human nature.
What, taking advantage of people? Or which, as I say, no, you guys like, would be the ones bad. Who know, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you feel bad. I try to reply to most emails at least with a sentence.
What? Okay,
except for sales emails.
So,
wait, how many emails do you get a day?
After this section of time on this show, like the 2 hour period, it'll be like 50 that are just sitting there.
Okay.
So like,
do you reply to all of them?
Of the 50, let's say 35 are like actionable or like worthwhile in some regard. I will reply to all of them. We were just joking about this before you came in about how I have a meeting with a guy who cold emailed me, LinkedIn me, and called me like 50 days in a row. And I was like, F you, I'm not doing anything. Yeah. Finally, I literally wrote him an email back and said, you have got fucking, you have no idea. Like you are so like the amount, you are 50, so
50 days in a row.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's not, maybe it's not 50, but it's close. And I literally was like, chutzpah, like that's this guy.
Well, there's a line between, cause we've had a few of those too. Guys who just keep hitting us up again and again and calling.
It's obnoxious until it's not.
Well, the first few times it shows that they're like passionate or sure. They care a lot about what you're doing.
Then they're a bad listener.
And then they're a bad listener. And then it's like, well, if we did business with this person, maybe they would do that to other people on our behalf.
Which is depends on the business you're in.
Right. Which
some businesses know, some businesses fantastic.
Right, exactly.
This guy's like call center material, like right off the bat. Like this is the kind of guy I want shaking down people for loans. Like this is perfect. But regardless, I reward people when it gets to a point where you and I both know this is ridiculous. Like you, there's no way that you're not writing this email thinking, you know what? He doesn't reply. Screw this guy. I'm just going to keep filling his inbox until it's
done. Does that ever work?
I mean, he's not going to get a deal if that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
I have no interest in doing business with him, but I will sit with him and waste 20 or 30 minutes of our time just to like shake him. I mean, he just.
Maybe find out what he's about. What kind of psychology he has that causes him to do that?
So here's the deal. I didn't read any of his messages, period, until the last one. I went back to like the first one to learn like why did I just – I agreed to a meeting without knowing anything because I thought the consistency was respectable.
But you agreed like weeks in advance, right?
No, I just flipped it and said I have a free opening this week if you want it, Friday. This is it. This is your one shot. And I literally – looked after the fact. After I already agreed to this, I went back to look at it, and of course it's lead gen. So it's a total waste of time.
And they're getting really clever.
Oh, this isn't even clever.
The are getting really clever. They're sending this reply where it's like, hey, are we still on for our meeting?
Oh, yeah.
And it gets you for a half second because you're like, man, wait a
did
second.
Did I? Yeah, it's like, well, we talked last week. You know, I emailed you last week, and I thought we were...
Yeah, did something get mixed up?
All I can tell you is he promises 300% monthly returns.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, like,
so you should talk to
him. It should change my business overnight. Like, we might, by the time you and I get back together, I think that we could own this building.
Right.
Like, based on what he's promising me, there's like a strong chance that I could refi this whole building. And
yeah, I think WGN you overshot. I think you overshot on that. I'm gonna.
They say, so we're going to get into startup talk, I promise. Yeah. They say that the key to success is to over-deliver and under-promise. This guy, maybe that's the case, and it's more like 500 or 600% returns, which would just be fucking nuts. I'm in. So this is like a good segue, I feel like, because startup companies, even though Howard Tolman just wrote this thing about how startups, after the Theranos thing, startups should stop, fake it till you make it. But I still think that startup world is a place where you do have to sort of be everything you intend to be before you actually are off to the races. And not that that is your business, but in general, like as a founder, I think it's kind of important to recognize like, what is it going to take to get people to believe that I could be what I say I could be? Mm-hmm. And you guys have a company, I think, that is really interesting, not just because of the tech behind it, but also the media world is so weird right now. And we're in this like crazy spot where this might be the only takeaway from Trump that we're like, oh, that was great, was that he renewed the faith or need for faith in journalism.
Right.
because nobody knows what is news anymore and nobody knows what are facts and stats. Like, it's all bullshit.
Yeah, and people don't feel safe. I think we saw in 2016, I had two friends actually that, you know, were close for years. And then after that election, till this day, Scott, they still don't talk to one another.
That's kind of foolish.
It is foolish, but I think it's a microcosm of a bigger problem, which is with the political environment we live in, sharing your opinion is become really risky for people, whether it's on Twitter or LinkedIn.
I love sharing my opinion. I don't give a shit what people think about it. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And I'm wrong most of the time, so I still don't care.
But you've reached a certain place in life where people actually care about what you say. I mean, people listen.
I hope not.
Well,
I seriously hope that if you're listening to this, this is entertainment. Like, there's business and there's takeaways you should listen to, mostly coming from other people. But like, I'm just fucking around here, man. I'm having a good time talking to founders. Yeah. Like, I hope people, I mean, you know, obviously there are nuggets that are important, but I can be totally honest with you. I go back to the days way before any of this stuff. And I was on Facebook for a while and then I wasn't for a while.
Yeah.
And the only reason I came back on social was because I decided to take a media route. I used to write just ridiculous stuff. Like,
right,
okay. Just whatever. And like, just people like, I can't believe that's so insulting. And it's like,
yeah,
well.
Yeah, you aren't afraid to share your opinion.
Yeah.
That's, I think, your problem. Unique that way, though. You know,
I don't know why people care so much.
I think a lot of people are afraid of, a lot of people don't have the powerful voice you have or strong opinions. I mean, what I like to say is, you know, we have a 1% in our country financially. I think we also have a 1% in people's voices that are actually heard.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah.
And then there's the 99% of us that are out there, and it's like, you know, maybe you have like 50 Twitter followers and you tweet into the void and no one sees what you're saying, or you post on Facebook and no one cares.
Well, I think that's like, we're coming to a head with that. I think we're getting to a point where the whole follower thing is sort of like losing its luster, because it, for a while, it seemed like it was, I'm one viral post away from being famous, Twitter famous.
Yep.
And now it's not, it's like, sorry, bro, you're not. Like, it's not happening. It might happen to a couple people, like the lottery, but like, there's nothing you can do. Like, you're going to either be made or you're not. And if you're not, you're not ever going to be.
Yeah. We have people with tens of thousands of followers. And then we have most people, including myself, that have a very small base, and there's no one to hear your voice.
Well, and they won't let you into the feed. And I think the thing there is like less about the numbers and more about like, as a person, we've come to a realization. It's like me getting to a certain age, 34, and realizing there is no chance of me being a professional. There never was, by the way, but there's no chance of being a professional athlete. Like that is gone, gone, gone. And it's the same thing now with the people on social. Like, I will never be Gary Vee. We're never going to be that. And so I'm done with the dream, and I think you're going to start to see people move
really
closer.
You don't think you could be Gary Vee still?
Oh, me? I wasn't talking about me. I'm fucking taking him on. I'm going to be, I am Gary Vee. Like,
yeah, why not?
I'm in it. I'm in it to win it. I'm talking about the average Joe, though. Like, they're not, I think the allure of I'm going to post for a public has gone away, and you're not thinking that that's even possible. And so you just sort of like, all right, whatever. The dream is gone.
Oh, they're checking themselves out of the
game. Yeah. The interest is now reverting back to the mean where Facebook started, which was your college group and friend that I know mutually. And so we're just going to start communicating.
Small groups. Communication is becoming more common.
Which is where you come in, right?
Right.
With the tech, because I think we still are naturally curious. We still want to know everything we can about the people that we're in the world with and like what their thoughts are. And I want to start like kind of swinging into your business. But I think we're in a really transitional period.
Oh yeah.
Both time. As a society and media, just the whole thing is just like, I don't think we know what we're doing.
I think people are craving a few different things right now. I think more than ever, people are craving privacy. We're seeing that with the Facebook thing. I think people are living in a world where they don't want to risk. It's risky to have my name, Kevin Clausen, next to my
opinions. Great name, by the way. This one.
Thank you. I haven't heard that before.
Really?
No.
We were just talking about, it's like, what a great name for like a Texas high school quarterback.
Well, you know what Kevin came from? It's a combination of Carl and Benjamin. So my dad wanted to name me Carl. My mom wanted to name me Benjamin.
And is this a common thing, or is this?
This is not common. This is just a weird thing.
I was
going to
say, I've never encountered.
There's like
this
there's
is an
no
Alaska thing.
There's like three Cabins out there. I found them all on Facebook and added them, and we talk because it's such a weird name, and people always think it's Cabin.
Yeah.
Or something else. They can't pronounce it.
Huh. That's
but,
actually
hey, you stand out. You stand out.
I would say so.
So, which is good. But I was a super shy kid. I was 6'8" with a weird name. And
are you 6'8"?
I'm 6'8", yeah. So when I was in high school, and especially my freshman year of high school, I didn't want to talk to him. I was like shy. I didn't want to be called upon. But when you're super tall with a weird name, you can't hide.
Did you play basketball? You're from Alaska, right?
Of course, yeah.
Trajan Langdon.
Trajan Langdon, Carlos Boozer, yeah.
Carlos Boozer, yeah. And then there's, is it Shane Batty from there also? There was a good...
I don't know. No, I don't think so. He played at Duke.
Oh, yeah, that's so where Duke goes for all their players.
Yeah, yeah. Trajan Langdon
was... He's a Kentucky guy, but...
Was my... My coach, Trajan Langdon.
Oh,
legendary
awesome.
Guy named Chuck White. He was like a... When we were up there in Alaska, you know, our team was just so much better than every other team in the area. That's how it works in a small areas
well,
like
I
that.
Suspect so. It sort of gravitates to the...
Yeah, it was like a powerhouse team, and we would just beat down these small towns and...
They come in on their dogs and a sled, and you guys are just like,
almost,
get the fuck out of here.
Almost. We won like 50 straight games against Alaska teams, and we finally lost. It was this like massive shock. And
that's awesome.
It was fun. No,
did
I
you,
mean.
Did you play basketball in college or anything like
no,
that?
No, but I mean, I was more of a nerd.
More height than skill.
I was more of a nerd. And yeah, and I mean, when you're a certain size, they just force you out there. Yeah. I mean, I was okay. I was a good player.
Yeah.
But that was never my dream or ambition. You know, I'm more.
That was mine, but I wasn't 6'8".
Really? Were you or basketball or baseball?
I played every
all
sport.
Sports,
yeah. So I was good at basketball. I didn't. This would be a big shock. I didn't really buy the team game so much. And the coach was very much like had this like team system that was like we were a small school. Yeah, so we were a small school.
So you wanted to go always, Kobe? You just wanted to be.
You know, really, it wasn't. No, I wasn't like that. It was. It wasn't like a selfish thing. It was more just like we were a small school who played against other bigger schools, and so we had to come up with a system that was the 50. And the idea was basically like we're gonna get away from athleticism and height, and we're just gonna run pick and roll, pick and roll, pick and roll.
Got it.
So you got two picks going to the box and two at the top, and they're basically a 3-point shooting team. I was a person who did not come off of a pick all that great for a pull up, and I was same exact height as I am now. A little lighter on my feet, but I was never like I was never like a point guard. I was kind of like a point forward, great passer, great shooter, but spot up, and it was more my own off the side. So I would always come up on it, and that didn't ever
happen.
So
that wasn't your game. That wasn't
no.
a good system for you.
So I played in a summer league for our school every single summer. We did travel and all
go
that.
To Vegas?
No, I didn't go to Vegas.
Yeah.
No,
that's what the AAU.
That's before. I'm too old for that shit.
Okay, yeah.
We didn't. There wasn't Vegas. There was like the Inner City Classic was the only one that we had here that was like well attended. And this is like Corey Maggette year.
Oh yeah, well, great player. No, at my height, you know, it's people ask me every day if I play basketball or how tall I am. I mean, it's just one of those things. You just get used to it.
You pull off 6'8" well.
I've got a friend who's 6'11", and for him, it's like he's aggravated by it because people ask him wherever he goes. He's like a circus.
I feel like asking, you must know David Gardner also then.
No, I don't.
How could you be in tech in Chicago and not know David Gardner, who's also 6'8"?
Okay.
6'11" with
him.
The hair.
Off the meet.
He played at Dartmouth, then played for the T-Wolves for a minute.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He runs a Color Jar. He's one of the first guests I ever had.
Oh, okay.
Look him up. Yeah, you guys will just be able to meet based on height.
I'll send him a cold email.
You'll meet him at the exact same eye level and everything will be fine.
I'll send him a cold email and
you'll have to do 50. You send him 50, he'll be fine. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about True Public.
Yeah.
Like I said, when I first met you, I think it's a really fascinating platform because of what it potentially can do. And then the fact that we are in such a transitional, weird place in the world that, like, I don't know necessarily how you pivot and grow and how it goes and like that whole thing. But I just know that if you can get people on the platform, it's super powerful. So tell us sort of the vision, the platform, where people can go to find it and all that jazz.
Yeah. True Public is right now it's a mobile application. We're building a web application right now, but it's a mobile application where people can express themselves with total anonymity. That means no name, no email, no profile picture, geolocation, anything like that. No cookies, IP tracking. And you can instantly express yourself on anything from Trump to health and dating to brands, you name it. Anything you can imagine, you can express your opinion on. And then the motivation for people is just sheer curiosity. People are able to see how you compare along all these different, you know, aspects, like how you compare to Republicans and Democrats and different genders and different races. And what we've cracked the code on something, Scott, which was surveys are notoriously difficult to take and boring and hard for people to want to spend their time on. And most surveying is done by paying people for their opinion. Yeah. And that creates a lot of really perverse biases, right?
Turns out people are liars.
People do lie a lot. Well, it's funny because if someone's paying me, and they're not paying a lot. Yeah. It's less than minimum wage. I mean, it's a joke. And most of them are scams, actually. But if they're paying you some small amount of money, you're just going to get through it as fast as possible.
I believe it was your co-founder who said he actually tried to make like a living wage just going to do surveys, which is brilliant.
Yeah. Arson's actually, and he's here, he's tried probably every surveying platform in the world. So I feel bad for him. He's had to try every single one.
He gets like a whole new meaning to self-funded.
Yeah. And the it's not a good model.
We're funding our business based on shitty surveys.
Yeah, we're doing surveys every night to try to get a little extra cash. No, it doesn't work. And most of them are scams. You get like, they're like, once you get 25,000 points, you earn a $25 gift card to Amazon, you get to 24,000 points, they stop delivering surveys. Yeah. Some of them are legitimate, Scott, but the problem is the incentive of those, there's two main groups they don't capture really well. And there's two groups that TruePublic's capturing really well, which is Gen Z, that's 22 and under. And that group is really hard to reach right now because they don't answer the phone. Like you cannot, like if their friends call them, they won't answer the phone. Yeah. They don't do it.
I'm spooked when the phone rings. If it's not planned,
most people
are. What are you
doing? Well, in 2019, there was a stat we found that 50% of all calls are going to be robocalls.
Yep. Thanks, Twilio.
And
not only that, but the stock was dropping like a fucking weight.
And imagine what that does for people trying to call and do surveys over the phone. It's a disaster.
Yeah.
And it's falling apart. And actually, billions of dollars are still spent on political surveys that are done primarily over the phone, if you can believe that.
Yeah, which I'm sure that also probably plays into the hands of some of the politicos.
And it does. And I think that speaks to...
They know exactly who they're going to get when they call.
Some of those are push polls. And some campaigns are trying to find polling data that looks good for their candidates. I'm sure a lot of the Democratic candidates are doing that now. Mm-hmm. But it speaks to this larger issue of like the 2016 election was a seismic event where the data was really wrong. And Hillary Clinton misallocated resources in some of those states. And I think if she had better polling, she might have not done that. So I think it's a problem that's not only has a huge economic value, but also has a huge societal value. I mean, making sure that our data is not inaccurate on the biggest of issues. There's nothing bigger than a U.S. presidential election. It's deciding the leader of the free world. And, you know, she didn't stop in Wisconsin. And I think that was because primarily the polling data showed that she was up by 8 points or more. And it's very costly to run a poll in a place like Wisconsin. On TruePublic, though, what we've cracked the code on is we figured out a way, in the simplest terms, to get people to come onto a platform and share their opinion at scale. The average session is 52 opinions now. So people are coming on, sharing a ton of their insights. And we've created this experience that's extremely addicting and fun for people. We've like made surveying fun by tapping into your curiosity. The same reason you might read the Wall Street Journal or USA Today is the same reason you might read TruePublic, because you're just curious about the world.
Walk me through the entire experience.
Yeah. You log in. There's no email, no password, like I said, so it's really seamless. You give us some basic demographics, right? That's all you have to
do. Just a blood sample?
Birth certificate, blood sample.
Birth certificate, blood sample, thumbprint, the usual.
That's it. Nothing major.
The usual, just upload your social security.
We scan your eyes and we get your fingerprint as well.
Actually, we do have, we've had a startup on who actually does that.
We will. Okay. So we'll talk about that after maybe.
We can do that afterward. But yeah, no. So super seamless, I get on it. What am I doing? Why am I there?
You get on it. A couple of motivations. Some people get on it more like a game. They want to know. In particular, we have tens of thousands of users that use it to find out what, you know, things that you couldn't tell other people. Drug use, sex and dating. Those are very popular subjects. They're kind of like, those are hooks that draw people in. There's also political things that people feel like they can't be super honest with their friends about, or they can't be super honest on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter. And on TruePublic, you can. And what you do is you vote. It's a voting application. So there's a bunch of different types of votes we have. It's pretty slick how it works. And you vote and then you instantly get to see results and insights. And you learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about your friends. We have a friends feature actually that we developed and released in December. And that's been helping us grow really fast, because for the first time ever, you can find out how many of your friends are Trump supporters without having to ask them. Because in a lot of ways, what we found is people aren't honest about that, even with their friend groups,
yeah.
about a lot of stuff in life. That yeah. All those things that you might only tell your significant other and you wouldn't tell anybody else, those things are hidden from society.
We were talking about this on the survey part. People lie.
People lie.
People and lie a lot.
Why do they lie? They lie because it could come back to haunt them in some way. So
yeah, I mean, I think this like is like a deeper thing. I mean, I think there's also, and this is all because of social media, there's the yeah. like the me and the manufactured me. And there's a weird little thing
yes.
that takes place when the two cross.
Yep.
We're like, I'm me. Like, I don't bullshit people. I'm playing a character. Like, I am a character, but like, I play, this is just fun and whatever. I'm the same general person, like on social, on not social. Like, it's not, I don't have
it's really healthy, actually.
I do too. And like, I know where I stand at all times, and you yeah. should know where you stand with me at all times. And I think a lot of people, whether it's for professional reasons or personal reasons or self insecurities, they believe that social media is their second opportunity to make who they thought they should have been.
It's a highlight reel too. It's
yeah.
People go on social media to post a vacation photo, a job update, I had a baby, whatever it might be, but you're not going to be like, guys, I'm feeling slightly depressed tonight.
Yeah.
I'm behind on my bills. I tried heroin for the first time last week. I mean,
things are like, going great.
These are these are things that people express on TruePublic.
Yeah.
I mean, 47% of users have admitted to shoplifting in the last 6 months.
In the last 6 months?
Yes.
Okay, so I got to ask you on this. This is a true story. So I've actually met Bob Mariano, so hopefully he doesn't listen to this. Oh, he doesn't own the store anymore, so screw it. Mariano's, I call it shrinkage, which is what they call it. It's just like number of items and things that kind of
like major. They're not stealing laptops. Disappear.
Yeah. So every time I go to Mariano's, it is my belief that as we shop around, I can sample. And so I usually grab a Diet Coke or something off the thing, and I might take like a chicken tender, and I might grab a couple other random things.
You eat it, or
yeah, I eat it and drink it the entire way through, and then I don't pay for any of it, and that's shrinkage. And the the only determination of whether my wife just thinks this is the, she's so pissed every time, which yeah. I think makes me do it more. At the end of it, if I felt like the shopping experience was good and the strawberries were good and all the things that like we want to buy, I will pay for the Diet Coke. However, if there's been any hangups at Mariano's, I'm it's no.
Okay, so you have a
shrinkage.
Shrinkage. You do some sampling.
I sample.
So you would be in that group.
According to you.
Kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
Kind of. That's interesting.
Yeah. See, it's
that's funny, actually.
They have
you are radically honest.
Yeah. So I feel like if they have a term for it and not theft, if they have a term that's built in that's not sampling. We call police.
Yeah, no,
shrinkage. There's another reason for that word, but like
yeah.
this is in the context of this. Best Buy has a thing like this too. That's theft. Best Buy, I don't know why, I can't explain to you why it's different, but like me snacking on a couple berries and a soda along the way at Mariano's is different than me like
yeah.
sliding DVDs into my coat pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
That's different. You know, I don't know.
Big difference, yeah.
I feel like it is, but maybe not.
But there's a lot of stuff like that that are people are, you wouldn't tell, 74% of people under 21 on TruePublic in the last month have said they've experienced depressive-like symptoms. That's not what you're seeing on Instagram.
Correct, yeah.
Instagram is a bunch of Coachella pictures.
Dude,
people are living the life.
My life is the best.
And we think there's something powerful in that. I had an email from a young man named Patrick a couple weeks ago, and it was really heartfelt. He was thanking us for building this. And the reason he thanked us is he said, when I go on places like Twitter, no one can hear my opinion. Yep. My opinion is less valuable than Scott's opinion. My opinion is less valuable than all these thought leaders' opinions.
Yep. It isn't, by the way.
But that's how they feel,
they
though.
Feel that
on
way,
TruePublic,
yeah.
though, if you're a celebrity or if you're just some random college kid, your vote is equal.
Yeah.
And I think there's something really profound for that as we go forward into this. But he's like, I don't post on Instagram. My life is not exciting. But on TruePublic, I find there's people like me out there. And I think that's how we're going to be able to scale this, is I think there's actually more people out there that are crying for something different in social media. They're crying.
Your timing could not be better.
I think the timing's perfect. I think we're hitting a trend where people are just like, there's countless articles now about the unhappiness that social media is creating in people. And I think TruePublic's a better experience. It's an experience where people are not going to troll you. It's impossible, actually, for someone to yeah. make fun of you, call you a name, or do anything.
They don't even know who you – they don't know you.
They don't know you.
It doesn't matter. Your vote was a vote.
You. Yeah, and it's a simple experience. I think the simplicity throws people off sometimes.
Walk me through that, though, a little bit. So, like, I'm looking at an article. When we last talked, this was after the unfortunate burning of the Notre Dame church.
Yeah, horrible.
News pieces come up and then walk me through that. It's like a news piece comes up, I see it, and I'm like, oh, there's one question, two questions, four questions.
Oh, yeah, breaking news is one of the main drivers of our growth and one of the main drivers of our business. So, yeah, the cathedral had the horrible fire, and we're able to put up a question within a matter of minutes. You know, we could put up a question within 30 minutes. We have some content people working on that all the time on our team. And then we're able to push that question out to a sample size of people. And we're able to get a statistically relevant response within a matter of hours, where most polling companies are taking forever. They're calling people, they're sending out surveys,
tens of thousands
emails,
of dollars.
It takes forever. Yeah. So one of the good examples is like when Howard Schultz, the founder of Starbucks, announced that he was thinking about running. It was a big thing on social media. And we put a question out, we pushed it out, we got a great response. You know, we had thousands of respondents within a few hours, and we put that out on social media. And we were like days ahead of anybody else. And what's scary about that in a way is like, we're very early on as a company.
Yeah.
We're just getting, I mean, we're starting to turn the corner and really starting to grow, but we're still super early.
Yeah.
And we're already able to do that so fast because it's a different mythology. It's like, it's a different methodology. People are, they're coming onto the platform just in a more general sense as a tool, almost like Twitter, as opposed to waiting on their email or waiting on this like app that pays you like 10 cents every time you spend 20 minutes on it, or waiting by your phone. People, they're part of a community of sharing opinions, and we just keep growing this panel larger and larger. Imagine how powerful it can be when there's millions on it.
Totally. I think one of the things that I find fascinating about it in general is like, I was just having this conversation with Sam, my company, it was about feeling different sometimes. Like you're walking through the office and you see other people at work and you see how they operate, you see the business they're in, same age, same general thing. And you're like, this is personal. Like I literally am walking downtown and I go into offices and I'm like, you know, I know people like you. I know I have friends or my wife's friends who have the job you have and sit in a chair at another office just like you. And they're very content. And meanwhile, I'm walking through, and if I sat in that chair doing what you're doing right there, I might consider flying right through that window behind you. Like, I just couldn't imagine. I'm like, what is wrong with me?
Oh, like desk jobs?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in this particular case, yeah, but it's like just the whole thing. And it could be that, or it could be other things. Like I'm walking around and I'm watching people who look like me, and there's news that breaks and it's on Twitter and people are like, and they all have their opinions. And I fundamentally disagree. Like I have absolutely nothing in common with the thought process that's behind whatever sentiment I'm reading. And I'm like, am I fucked up? Like why, what is going on? Like why am I not experiencing the world the same way? And what ends up happening is I think back to like the conversation you and I had about TruePublic, and I think that those people are full of shit. I think they're projecting. I think they project what they think they're supposed to think. But if you actually gave them something like TruePublic and said, why don't you answer that truthfully? I think they would answer totally differently. And I think that they would either because of ego that they do this, or because they have to tell themselves that this is what it's like, because
herd
otherwise
mentality.
It hurts too much, or it's herd mentality, or I'm fucking nuts. And that's the other alternative.
Or you're the minority.
That's what I'm saying. And that's fine. It's just, I would like to know.
That's interesting.
And I think what the power you have is that we could, I mean, imagine deconstructing the problems of social media, not the bullying and the things that we really, human nature, it's kind of hard to get away from.
Absolutely.
But the parts of like, you leave Instagram feeling like these people's lives are better than mine. You leave Facebook in particular and you think they got a car and a house with a white picket fence and they got babies and I didn't get any of that. And you feel lesser or whatever the case may be.
You leave LinkedIn feeling
holy shit
worse. I mean, LinkedIn's just a status seeking.
I'm barely employed as far as LinkedIn is concerned. and that which actually might be true. But like, I could go to a site like yours, or even having yours embedded in the social where I can click on it and just expand survey and come to a realization right then and there that like, no, that's just a really good picture of a moment in a really long day that had ups and downs, just like me. And the reality is like the same people who post all this shit are the same people who answer the same way I answer politically or economically or whatever. And all of a sudden you start to see this new picture of like, a million individuals, not a million people in a pack and just you standing alone.
Right.
And it starts to become a huge bridge where like information makes me feel less apart or more apart, whatever you want, you know?
Yeah.
But like, I think that that's where the power here is really immense.
Yeah, I think people are finding out that there's a lot more people like them. And as we continue to add demographics, we're always adding new demographics based on income and sexuality. And there's going to be endless demographics on TruePublic, and you'll eventually be able to customize those. And one idea we're working on is called TrueMe, which is a version of TruePublic, which is a feature on TruePublic where as you vote and share your opinion, the app starts to tell you stuff about yourself.
Yeah.
Which is going to be awesome because you're a 34 white male living in Chicago, Illinois. You might vote most like a 57-year-old Asian woman in Rochester, New York, right? Yeah, I mean, but we don't know. That'd be fascinating to know. Do you vote more like someone younger than you or older than you on average? Do you vote mostly like someone of your race and gender? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to guess.
So like, I'm self-loathing. So like, I vote if a person reminds me of myself, I fucking run. Like I don't vote for him. I go the exact opposite. Like I can't help myself.
Wow.
So what I need True Me.
Yeah, I think it'll be fast.
I know what those people are capable.
I think it's gonna be a viral component. It's gonna be like, here's what people like me do. Here's what people like me are. And then here's the people I most like. We're also going to be able to tell you where you fall on the political spectrum.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to use TruePublic and find out you're becoming more conservative or more liberal over time. I think these are the kind of things that like. There's a lot of things in tech that you can get in a lot of different places. We think that that's a feature that you can only get in one place. We think on TruePublic it's going to be the one place you can go to really deeply understand yourself. It's almost like a personality test on steroids. That's not just a one-time thing, but it's constantly evolving and constantly giving you new information about yourself.
I think that's fascinating. It's great for self-awareness and empathy. I think affirmation of preconceived notions or disinformation is really key to this. I think looking at people and wondering like, how can people like, who are these people who believe this?
Yeah.
I can tell you like the correlations you might think are obvious or maybe they're not obvious.
There's going to be some correlations that are going to be shocking.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And so like before we wrap this, you are a business, I assume for profit, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, oh yeah.
Have to be.
We got Pistol Pete from Hyde Park Ventures, Hyde Park Angels coming in next, so you better say for profit.
Oh yeah.
How do you guys make money at this? What's the different model? Because I think it's uniquely different from what
there's a few different models, and we're actually working on a partnership right now with Warner Media. I was just down there last Tuesday, and you know they own CNN and TNT, and there's a lot of different ways this can go. A couple of the main ways, obviously, we have correlated insights, which are super valuable. Brands and political groups pay a lot of money for this. What I mean by correlation is if we can find out what people who support Trump think, we can also see what shows they watch.
Yep.
How they spend their time, how they view the world. It's actually a lot of the data we have in the world is like credit card. Like they use credit card data. They use buying data to find out what people did.
Yeah.
TruePublic can offer something really unique, which is why they did it.
Yeah.
And what they might do in the future, which I would argue is even more valuable if we can figure out the why.
I would argue that as well.
Get to that. So
the correlation piece to me is the most valuable because you could – not putting words in your mouth for a customer, but like you could put paid opportunity for you. So TruePublic is being paid by CNN or whoever to drop a series of questions into this that will answer for a gap. So we've recognized that people who voted for Trump also did this, also did this. And oddly enough, they bought Volvos and you're like, that doesn't right. seem to work. Can you drop another question and it would either confirm or perhaps shed light on why and find the other correlation that is there? And I think that's the most powerful part. It's like we have all this information. We have all this data. We really don't. It's all based on like active users and click post. It's all postmortem.
Yeah.
There's very little like, okay, if then what would happen next? And that's what you guys, I think,
the why questions also – and one of the things we're going to work with Warner Media on and a few other companies we're talking to is being able to sell in a really targeted way through the app. Because a lot of selling is done in they're guessing. You know, they're sending out ads and they're hoping maybe I'm going to buy a car. On TruePublic, we ask people like, are you going to buy a car in the next 6 months?
Yeah.
Oh, what car do you like? Oh, you like Volvo.
Yeah.
Okay, here's which of these Volvos do you like the most?
The crossover one.
I like What color?
The sapphire.
This is all interesting to people, actually. People enjoy doing this. We have these types of questions on the platform, and then you go all the way through down that rabbit hole. And at the end, it's like, okay.
Cars.com.
You can buy this Volvo now. And we think that's a really interesting way to sell stuff to people that's not intrusive and is more like helping them make decisions.
You know? I think we've gotten to a point on just traditional advertising now where I clicked on Apple. I went into an Apple store. So now my Facebook feed is just blowing up with Apple stuff. And it's like, I think right. It's actually kind of archaic, to be honest. It's yeah. just, it's annoying.
And also,
clearly, like, I want Apple. I went to the store. Like, I get it.
And our ads are going to be interactive.
Are you just whispering because you don't want the competition to hear?
I don't want anyone to hear. I whisper.
It's just me and you and 10,000 other people.
I whisper when I'm telling really big ideas. Okay. No, our ads, most ads, I'm just looking at the ad. Imagine how much more effective it is if there's a Coca-Cola ad that says, which version of Coke would you rather drink?
Yeah.
Subconsciously, you just said, I like cherry. Diet Coke, or I like Coke, or I yeah. like cherry. That's a really cool idea.
I totally agree. I also yeah. think, like, imagine where you can find a, like, so, like, you obviously plugged into this, but there's a reawakening on the out of home experience. Hmm. So not digital. So billboards, but also creative things and, like, pop-ups. The yep. idea of finding out not just what people like, but when and where they like them.
Yep.
And stop just forcing product down their throat on their scroll feed and be like, no, you know what? We're feisty black cherry Coke. We're going to catch you where we found out you like it, which is usually when you're taking a walk down Chicago River. So we're just going to pop up. And, like, it's just so much smarter. And yeah. I think it could be, I don't know. I think if you can find a way to get people to hit this by the millions, that's the key number for you. We've got to get millions of people to want to use it one way or another.
Even at 150,000, yeah. Scott, like 150,000 people. If you go look at, like, the market research industry, that's a massive
pain. Oh, the data, yeah, you're good regardless.
Yeah, the data's good.
I'm talking about, like, the long, right, to build this into the empire that you want it to be.
As an ad.
I think that if you could actually get this to millions of users who, we talked about this before, whether it's daily clicks or it's monthlies or it's downloads, whatever, it doesn't really matter. The metric is that I need is one question answered. That's all I need. So I think you guys are on to something with it. And I think
you have to make it more social. That's the bottom line. Just continue yeah, to make those circles smaller.
But, like, these people, you have a survey mechanism, right? So you can just yeah. ask them what they want and they'll tell you.
We
and
do then, that. I mean, we survey our own users, which is great.
This yeah. is sweet. Where do people go to download it? What, you know, what is next for this?
True Public. In either App Store or truepublic.com, we're going to have a web version coming out soon. You're going to be able to use it on your desktop or your tablet. Imagine, like, a Wikipedia of opinion, where if you want to know what people think about anything, you're just going to be able to search it. I think it's a pretty cool idea.
And I want to say, don't overlook the mobile browser.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, I think that. We have gotten to a point in the app world where, unless it's like a direct integration, like
it's stickier, but it's harder to get people to download initially.
Yeah. yeah. Well, like, I mean, look, like, I love TechCrunch and I'm on Crunchbase and TechCrunch all the time. And the interface is, you know, obviously better controlled in the app. I still prefer the browser because it's like, I can just pop sure. in and out of it real quick. So don't overestimate the value yeah, of a good browser. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Hopefully you enjoyed coming yeah. on the show. It's a little bit of a wild ride sometimes.
No, a lot of fun.
Thank you. Awesome. Well, you can catch this episode more at technori.com. Follow us on, as you do, follow us on social at Technori. You can follow me at Katoon. Download the podcast on Spotify and iTunes. Boom, that's a wrap.